Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
I'm Kenzie.
And we're a couple from Calgary, and we're official beer nerds. We travel most of the country looking for new breweries and new flavors.
Awesome. And we're both here in Nelson right now. So I brought a selection of beers from Metro Vancouver, and you've brought a selection of beers from...
Calgary.
Just Calgary?
Yep. Most of them local Calgary, and a couple of them from surrounding area. Collaboration for Last Best Brewing and Distilling, Hamel Farms, and Red Shed Brewing for their Bock Chain.
Awesome. All right. Well, it looks like we're going to start with one of the BC beers. So this one is from Fieldhouse Brewing. It's a collaboration with Steel and Oak. It's a foraged saison. It's got dandelion, yarrow, and elderberries. There it is. 7.1 ABV and 15 IBU. Haven't seen one of these wine openers in a while.
Yeah. The all-in-one.
Exactly. I'll let you guys pour first.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's nice and cloudy, kind of a deep orange color.
Yep.
Just off-white head.
Yeah, not a lot of head, just...
Mine's sticking around a little more, but I poured it straight in.
Yeah.
Almost like you do with a nitro beer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, surprised how fast it went away on your glasses.
Gone now?
Interesting. It's got kind of a banana aroma.
Yeah.
Kind of a banana and wheat. It almost smells like Hefeweizen to me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Interesting. I mean, saisons are usually a wheat beer anyways.
Yeah, you can kind of smell the spice a little, just the normal farmhouse style. But yeah, definitely a little bit of a fruity aroma. Definitely bananas.
Yeah, it's a little different. Got a little more spice going on in there. It's still really banana heavy.
Yeah.
A little bit of wheat, but getting more of that earthy spice.
That first taste, that's oof.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yep, jumps out for sure. That's nice.
Sometimes you drink a beer and you get the taste after a bit. This is right at the start.
Yeah. It's nice. It doesn't linger a ton, though.
Yeah, yeah, a real soft finish. Once it's off the front of the tongue, it's gone.
Yeah. I do like it. Yeah, it's interesting, but it reminds me. It's almost like you're just like biting into a dandelion or a plant or something. I don't know. It's got a lot of that.
Yeah, it's
you know,
kind of. It's plant an interesting matter. Flavor. Yeah, what exactly? It's.
And actually, as I drink it, I'm getting less banana. It's kind of being taken over by the dandelion, and
I was going to say more flowery as I go along.
That's a good word for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Definitely losing the fruit flavor, getting a little more of the saison spice, and then the flowery.
It's really interesting how fast it's changed though, because the first sip was almost all banana for me.
Yeah.
And then it's slowly kind of.
I also find I'm smelling it again, and it's after I've tasted it, gives it a different smell. I find now that I've tasted it, it changed it.
A little bit. It's still more banana on the nose than anything else, I find.
Yeah.
Do you sniff it too much?
No, I'm hitting it with my hat brim. Here we go. It's about the collab. Our collective brew crew set out for a day of dandelion foraging in the fields of Abbey. These wild dandelions add bitterness and floral notes, while the addition of local elderflower, elderberries, and yarrow bring complexity to this foraged saison. I also find it interesting with this bottle. It's... Seems like they changed their mind on the label or something, because there's some stickers on stickers.
Yeah, they've got the label sticker, and then they've changed all the other logos to have other stickers. I wonder if it's we'll call them flowers, they could find.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, and they just put the sticker on so they don't have to redo the bottles.
Although the actual elderberry blah, blah, blah is actually on the original printed label, so it's kind of weird.
Is it like a peel-and-win?
That'd be awesome if it was.
Yeah, go for it.
They're all going to recycling anyways after this.
Oh, that's really nice.
That was a good pickup, yeah.
Yeah, really like a not overwhelming flavor, just a really solid saison. Definitely the table ale idea, right? Like just something... Something to complement whatever you've got going on food-wise.
Yeah, and it hides the 7.1% alcohol really well.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not tasting any of that at all. That was good. Fieldhouse is great, and I mean, I love Steel and Oak. They're my closest brewery to home, so I know them well.
I just picture myself sitting out on a patio by the water.
Yeah. Or maybe out there looking at the mountain.
Yeah.
Mountains. That was nice, yeah.
Yeah, really, just like I said, a really good, solid flavor, not overwhelming. You could see it paired with just about anything.
Yeah,
really.
For sure. Probably go well with a dessert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for the sweet flavor with sort of a little more mellow.
Yeah. But
you've got the fruit, the floral notes, and the fruit notes. Yeah.
That could be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be really good.
Yeah, well, there's some left over. If you have any dessert, you can try it later.
Twizzlers,
yeah.
I don't know if that would work, but you never know. Maybe as a straw.
Yeah. We'll do a follow-up after, let you know.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so this is Cool as a Cucumber Lime Gosa from Cabin Brewing.
I'm excited for that because I've had the Cool Hand Cuke from Hearthstone Brewing in North Van, so I know that it can be a great mix of flavors, even though it sounds bizarre.
Yeah, that's the one we had that really sort of gave us the idea, hey, this is not a bad idea. We were in Steamworks and totally caught us off guard. Like,
okay, yeah, theirs is not a sour, but yeah.
Yeah.
The cucumber ale, yeah. The thing people worry about with the sour cucumber beers are expecting it to be like a pickle, which you don't want.
Yeah.
Looks kind of similar to the last one.
Very.
A little more yellow than orange, but nice and hazy. Little white head on it.
I like the smell.
Oh, yeah. It almost smells like just cucumber water.
Yeah.
Like a dash of citrus or something in there. Interesting. That's nice, yeah.
Refreshing.
It's got like the tartness of like lemon or something. And then the cucumber kind of takes over. And what was it? Did you say it was 5.2% alcohol?
I think that's...
Yeah. So yeah, it's 5.2.
Yeah.
Nice and manageable level. You could drink a lot of these on a patio. Like all, and it's also salty because it's a gosa. Like all kettle sours, it's not super complex, but it's got a lot of good flavor. I really like that.
Yeah, it pops really good. Really just tart enough on the nose and then smooth sort of cucumber takeover, like you said, just a refreshing follow through.
No, exactly, yeah. But it's not so sour that it's going to give you heartburn or anything.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's not an overwhelming sour, right?
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah, definitely good patio crusher. Puppy friend's over to say hi.
Yep, he's come to visit.
He's jealous. He likes beer, so.
Nice. I think a lot of dogs do.
We've been fortunate that we are able to take them to a lot of places now with the patios and stuff, so.
Yeah. We need more of those in BC.
It's improving. That's one of the things for us is always, you know, when we're looking at a new brewery, we always look, first, do you have a patio? Second, can we bring our dogs on it?
Yeah. Because,
you know, the best days to go out for beers are plus 30 and you can't leave them in the car, so.
No, you can't.
So there have been places we've skipped simply because... You know, we're not going to stand on the street. One person goes in.
We have done that, though.
Tasting is, yeah.
We have done that.
Well, sometimes you have to. If you want to check out a brewery, right?
You run in, we're like, we're going to get flights. But he's going to come back in and take some. We're just going to, and they just look at us and we're like, we're not running out on you.
Here's my credit card. Yeah. Just run
it. Yeah. There's dogs outside. If they can't come in, you're going to have to deal with this weirdness.
Yeah.
We'll drive you insane instead of them driving you insane.
Yeah, one or the other.
You compromise.
It doesn't get old. It's quite enjoyable.
Yeah, it's, like I said, it's when we sort of discovered it a while back. We were there before they released it and kind of heard it was coming out and sort of said, oh, that's one we got to go back for. And when they canned it, it stood out like going into summer. It's one of the ones that sort of generated a lot of hype.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I believe it. Yeah, it's something weird, right? It's something funky that people don't see a lot of.
Well, a lot of them have gone more like the fruity, and I think that's why I really enjoy it, that it's now that cool refreshing that isn't fruity. It isn't overly sweet.
Yeah, exactly. And cucumber's good for you, right? So it's got to be healthy.
It's
healthy as beer gets.
Exactly. And I mean, depending on how they make their sour beers, if they use yogurt, which some do to sour it, it's probiotics.
Yep. There's basically grain, all there's... of the food groups.
Exactly.
Vegetables, got it.
Pair it with a nice salty, you know, cured sausage and all the food groups, and you've got the hopefully a bold sausage flavor and a nice refreshing cucumber water flavor.
It's all what the old food pyramid needed, right?
Yeah. Beer.
The new one, psh, whatever.
They'll just change it again anyways.
No, this beer would be really good after like a workout, getting that cucumber water kind of feel to it.
Or the peak of a mountain.
Peak of a mountain, perfect.
Yeah.
End of a mountain bike ride, whatever. Just don't have it on your bike with you.
Get shaken.
Unless you want to play Beer Hunter. Yeah. Good old Baba Doug McKenzie.
Yeah, it's one you can't really get sick of. It's
Yeah.
Well, it's I think with this one especially, the real risk you run is, you know, 3-4 deep. It's kind of still tastes the same, still light, still mellow.
Yeah.
Really, really touches that palate, but doesn't, you know, hit you over the head with it. And next thing you know, it's 11 p.m. and you're looking for, you know, who's got my keys?
At least it's only 5.2% alcohol, so you're not going to get super wasted on that.
Yeah. unless you go overboard, which your fault.
I guess, it is so crushable, you probably could go overboard with that. But yeah, like you said, it's your own fault, so whatever. If someone's going to go overboard, just take their keys away.
Exactly.
So the next beer we're going to try here is from Daggered Brewing out of Burnaby. This is their Brune. It's a Belgian Abbey-style double brewed with Mission Figs. 7.5% alcohol. It's combining the Mission Figs, once grown by Franciscan monks on this continent, with the yeast used by Trappist monks in Europe. Daggered Brune is our take on a classic Belgian Abbey double. And the storm actually came.
Yeah.
Thunder.
Sounded.
Been warning about thunder and lightning for days, and that actually happened.
Yep, here it is.
Oh, yeah, you were gone this morning. You missed the thunderstorm we had earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it lit up the sky a bit. We were out with the dogs.
Oh, nice.
Quickly back to the vehicle.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't like the thunder and lightning any more than we do.
I actually love it. I just want to be indoors.
Yeah. Safe.
It's great to watch from underneath the patio.
Yeah.
Far enough back, you get the warmth from indoors.
Well said. I poured that way too hard.
Yeah, this one's definitely got head on it. Not like the other two that just sort of vanished. This one is sticking around a bit.
It is bottle conditioned, so better chance of having lots of carbonation. It is like a murky brown.
Yeah, almost an amber in the light, but definitely.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Brown, sort of a tan or off-white sort of head color.
Yeah.
It's got a really interesting smell.
Yeah.
It's sort of...
I think a lot of that's coming from the figs.
Yeah, very faint.
Yeah. But lots of sort of general dark fruit notes and some caramel, toffee or something.
Yeah, you can sort of smell, I guess, a thickness almost.
Yeah. It's a very different beer than the other one.
Yeah, it's not light colored and tart, that's for sure.
No, it's not. It's got like a candied sugar sweetness.
That is sweet.
Yeah, with the figs in there and...
Like a natural sweet.
Yeah.
Not like a candy sweet.
Yeah, it doesn't feel forced. It feels like, you know, that's how this beer should start.
Yeah, exactly. It's got like a sort of a toffee sweetness too.
Yeah.
Almost no bitterness.
Yeah, really, really very little.
And again,
definitely a full bodied flavor, kind of finishes soft, but.
And again, you'd never guess this was 7.5, right?
Yeah, no, it goes down smooth.
Oh, no, no.
I love the ones that kind of hide that. I mean, I like the ones that don't too, but.
Yeah.
It's much nicer when you can sit down and go, this is really nice. Oh, shit.
Yeah, you drink it and you're like, oh, whoops.
Yeah.
What just happened?
Every now and then, the 12% barley wine that just punches you in the face with alcohol is nice.
That first hit.
But yeah. Nothing wrong with hiding it a little either.
No, exactly. And Daiquiri does a great job of hiding booze in their beers. And they're one of the next closest breweries to me. And they were actually the Brewery of the Year last year for Canada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They were dethroned this year.
For shame.
It happens. You can't always have the crown. They weren't ready for it anyways.
Who won this year?
I'm not sure. Actually, I forget.
We'll just edit that part in.
A really bad edit with the
different sounds.
Yeah, total different ambience.
Yeah, different rooms, so it's different vibrations.
Clifford Brewing Company.
But I've always liked this one. This is one that I walk into the tasting room. There's nothing new. I usually pick up this one.
No, it's like, as you said, it starts really, it's smooth but sweet. It has a full flavor and sort of, you don't taste the 7% alcohol, and then, you know, once it's off your tongue, it's off your tongue. You're not stuck tasting it, right?
No, for sure. And it's got a thicker body, almost like you'd get with more of a porter or stout.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I wonder if it'd be a little bit warmer, how the flavors would come out if it's more of that sense. So that's it.
Hold glass.
Time for the goblet hold.
Yeah, exactly.
I just find with a lot of these, as soon as they get warmer, you kind of get that little bit.
It is, as it warms up, you can sort of taste a little bit more. A little bit more push on the sweetness. It's definitely, it's right on top of you right away when it's warming up a bit.
Yeah, it's got more of that, the Belgian candy sugar thing going on for sure.
I do like it that it's been sitting here a little bit longer.
Well, look, there's just another glass in there for you. Leave it for a couple hours.
But I also find with it warming up, I can taste the alcohol.
I'm not really finding that, but that could be...
Me.
Yeah, it could be a lot of things.
It's a girl thing. No.
Yeah. Yep.
They disagree.
What's that, Zeus? Thor? I just hope the massive rain doesn't come with it.
No, well, hopefully this morning was it.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
All right, so the next one we've got up here is the Buck Chain, just as previously mentioned. Collaboration between Red Shed Malting, Last Best Brewing and Distilling, Hamel Farms, and Canadian Malting Company Limited. It's obviously a bock. 5.7% alcohol. The really neat thing about this one is the can comes with a QR code on it. The QR code you scan, and the explanation we got was... If you follow the website through the QR code, it takes you to an overview of the Hamel Farms, and it shows you basically where the malts that are in your beer came from, where it's harvested from in the field to go with the batch of beer that you bought. So really a strong take on the, you know, farm-to-table idea. You get to see, yes, it's local. Here's how local.
So I've actually never tried anything from... anything with the Red Shed Malting grains yet, but I met one of the guys at the Festival in Penticton, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, we had met them at the Alberta Beer Fest a couple of weeks ago. We had interviewed them and chatted with them up, and it was really cool for them to talk about the can and everything. So
the can's neat. Yeah, I like the pixelated art with the weed on it or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's probably what's throwing off your QR code.
Probably, yeah. Continuing with the hazy chain here, like, it's not as hazy, but it's still pretty hazy.
Yeah, not clear for sure. A little bit of haze in there. Really, like, in between almost, right? Like, between the sour as far as, in between the sour and the brune as far as color goes, it's not the golden, but it's definitely the golden brown. Light white head, not a lot.
Yeah, it's already gone on mine, basically.
Yeah.
We're almost pretty mild.
Yeah. Yeah, not an overpowering smell to it for sure.
Not fair after the broom, which is a huge aroma, right? Yeah. Kind of like a mild sweetness.
Yeah, you can sort of smell the caramel notes
from the malt. Maybe a hint of fruit or something in there. But it's definitely light.
First thing, obviously I've had this a few times.
Yeah.
First thing that hits me is so smooth, right?
Yeah, it's definitely smooth.
The second it hits you, it's right away. It's very smooth flavor, not overwhelming, not overpowering. You sort of taste a little bit of a sweetness to it. You
don't really taste kind of graininess.
Yeah.
It's kind of a dark fruit sweetness. I'm not sure what, it's kind of nebulous. I'm not sure what it is, but there's definitely some kind of mild dark fruit in there.
The can does not give us any hints.
No. Well, if we scanned the QR code.
If it worked.
It might. I just don't have an app set up, really. Yeah. Trying to use Google Lens, and it wasn't doing it, so I gave up. I think this might be another one of those ones, if we just warm it up a little bit, it might be a little too cold.
Yeah, that fridge likes to keep things really chill.
It's because it's empty.
Empty, yeah.
Who needs food when you can have beer?
Barley sandwiches every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
We mentioned earlier it was healthy with the cucumber and the sandwich there.
Yeah, definitely. Let's say this one's a fruit salad.
Fruit salad.
Yeah, there we go. It's definitely showing off the malt side.
Yeah. Yeah, that was sort of the idea they had, was something a little bit different from what they normally had, which is why they went with the Bock, and then definitely to try and bring out the local farm, local malting. It's, you know, obviously Alberta, we love the best barley in the world. We'll tell anyone willing to listen. And so
even the ones that won't, right?
We can tell them until they do listen. And that's really what this feels like it's designed for, is to sort of really show that off.
Well, it makes sense when it's got, what was it again? Red Shed Malting and Canadian Malting Co. Limited involved.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool, too, to have two different maltsters involved. It's not normal, I don't think.
They're very, I said during the event we saw them at, they decided to do a 20-minute talk about it. And it was really interesting how they came up with the idea that everybody now wants to know where things are from. So why not offer it in beer? Why not allow you to see where it comes from?
No, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of take off of the blockchain idea, right, where you can sort of trace everything back to their root. That's exactly the idea. Trace it right back to, you know, where on the farm this grain was grown and harvested, when it was put into your beer, and by who.
Yeah. Now, I wonder if they'll keep up with that good of tracking, or if it'll just be like it came from this farm.
But, you have to imagine something like this. Like, that's a massive undertaking.
Yeah.
Once you've got it all set up, sure, it's easy for the first handful of times, but as soon as you start changing types and everything, right, it's tracking, it's going to be a real challenge.
Oh, for sure.
I can't even tell you the percent.
Oh, it was
5.7.
Yeah. It's about the QR code. I think we just need to download a QR code app. That's the only downside, is QR codes never really took off.
No.
So it's a lot of us have deleted the apps off our phone.
I saw them in like museums in the science center.
Yeah.
But then once I was gone, I like delete.
Yeah,
exactly. I need more room for photos.
I've got an SD card for that.
I have way too many beer and dog photos.
It's what you need.
It's what I'm...
That is life.
That is life.
Holy crap, that has a lot of information.
You know, here it's got your cultivation information, gives you the location of the field, the period, 2018, harvested September 6, 2018, inspected October 4th, transported to Canadian Malting Company November 13th, like right back from the start, right?
That's pretty impressive, yeah.
And then, right through till December 11, 2018, brewed at Last Best Brewing and Distilling in Calgary, so.
It's a new innovation that no one else has thought of, and that's really interesting.
Yeah, there's been some sort of similar things out there, but not anywhere close to that.
Not to that,
No, it'll tell you where they picked the hops, where the grain might have come from, but...
Yeah. Well, like Fieldhouse, right? They picked dandelions in Abbotsford.
Yeah, exactly.
I've driven the highway, I know.
I know where that is. I'm lost as soon as I leave the highway.
No, I know where the keg is there.
Okay. If you know where the keg is, then you probably know where Fieldhouse is. Blocks from there.
That was about the reason we're here. Liz sent us there, so.
There you go.
As we said, we sat out on the patio in the rain. It was great.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. That patio is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It was packed.
Mm-hmm.
And Gunnar was, the dog was not too impressed. He had to sit out in the rain. Well, we kind of recovered.
Yeah.
But it didn't stop him from trying
to stop him from knock the table over to get the beer yet.
Smart dog. Yeah.
He knows the tricks. He might have the IQ of a 4-year-old, but he's definitely smarter than I am.
He's got the taste for beer.
Taste for beer.
It's not the 4-year-old taste for beer.
Yeah. No.
What is that?
No. Yeah. He's like, oh, I bumped the table. I'll clean that for you. Oh, I'm doing you a favor. Oh.
Get another one, please. Gunk.
We don't give our dog alcohol.
The dog might sometimes get it. The dog
might get it.
Yeah, he takes it.
Yeah.
It's a difference.
He's quicker than I am sometimes.
Can only clean it up so fast.
Yeah.
Oh, where's that next crack of thunder? To be like, that's time for the next beer.
Yeah. We'll put that in afterwards. Yeah, I'm sure there's a sound for it.
Cam can find that.
Note to Cam.
All those sleep sound apps. It's like, there's the sheep.
All right, this one is from Fieldhouse. This is a Fodor-aged beer. It's aged in white oak. It's a Sperling Vineyards collaboration. It's a natural amber wine hybrid. 7% alcohol. And it's aged 8 months in white oak, conditioned in bottles. Here we go. Brewed in collaboration with Sperling Vineyards. 100% fermented in our Fodor with natural organic yeast from their 2017 natural amber Pinot Gris in May 2018. And they actually added Pinot Gris pomace from their 2018 harvest, which soaked in the beer for 4 months before being bottled.
So. That's, obviously, we've been to the Fieldhouse once.
Yeah.
And then this will be the second sort of go-around with their beers. They do seem to... They have the partnership with the winery, and they seem to... They really like to leverage that. Like,
yeah, they do.
Were there, they had the wine-flavored beers, or I believe aged in the wine casks. And that's,
yeah.
It's a neat flavor. It adds to, I guess, the fruitiness of the beer, obviously.
Yeah, and a little bit of a different complexity.
I don't know that it drags in the wine audience, but certainly...
Yeah, it doesn't turn me off as a wine hater.
Yeah, exactly. I like the flavors, though, right? Like,
yeah.
That's what drinking beer is all about. I'll stop short of saying everyone can make a lager, but everyone can make a lager. So coming up with your own idea, your own twist on it, like that's...
Everyone can make a lager. It's not always drinkable.
Yeah. But
I think I got the end of the bottle here. I got a little bit of floaties in mine. But
that's how you know it's organic.
Well, and it's also, yeah, it's bottle conditioned, yeah. So
yep.
Live yeast in it.
Unfiltered.
Yeah.
That it is. This one is another... cloudy kind of, yep. Orange.
Yeah, we're in with the haze tonight, yep. For sure.
Accidentally. And not one of them have been an IPA yet.
No.
Well, we've got the one IPA. I'm sure it'll be
clear. Yeah. Wouldn't that be funny? It's definitely got some wine grapes on the nose. Like, I'm not, yep, a big wine person, so I couldn't tell you if it was the Pinot Gris or what the heck it was. But it's definitely grape.
It comes through with the first sip, too.
Yeah.
That's... Just trying it, yeah, you can, the wine flavor definitely hits with that first sip. You definitely, you pick it up right away.
Just got it right in my nose.
It's pleasant, though. Like, it's not overwhelming. There's a wine flavor to it for sure, and it sort of takes away a little bit of the beer, you know, the initial beer hit. You get more of the wine than the beer, but on top of that, you've got sort of a sweet flavor. Yeah. It's got...
Lemon tartness.
Yeah, yeah, that tart, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of the... A little bit of pucker, and then just sort of a really clean drinking, I guess, yeah. Even.
It just reminds me of, like, lemon juice with some grapes, wine grape in it. It's interesting. But I could drink a lot of it still.
Oh, yeah. It hits the back of your mouth, and it starts to, you know, kickstart the yeah, salivary glands. You get that going. It's nice, though, yeah.
Now the mouth waters a bit, and mm-hmm, again, I am not tasting 7% alcohol.
Yeah. These are dangerous.
Yes.
You brought us some dangerous beer.
Yep.
Apparently, we went out with our five in a bit.
No, that was smart. Keeps it sane.
I like the bottle. That's really
Yeah, that's
nice.
Interesting. It's, you know, it's a bit different shape. It's shape. A 500 milliliter bottle. I think it's kind of a champagne bottle.
I was going to say, it's a little bit more that winey kind of feel to it as opposed to like an actual beer bottle. Yeah.
And Fieldhouse is interesting, too, because the first bottle we had there is a slightly odd 650 milliliter bottle with their branding like printed on the bottle. They've got that. They've got some smaller bottles that are different.
Yeah. Well, I feel with this one, it's more not classy, but it kind of has that upper feel. And that one looks more like a farm feel. They've done a really good job with just not just the labels, but the look of the bottle itself.
Yeah. They've definitely cleaned up the label. Definitely cleaned up the label with this one. You've got the copper embossed, the textured, labeling, sort of the wine style explanation on the back. It's definitely like a, almost like a more classy feel.
Yeah.
That's what they're going for with it is, like I said, just with having the partnership with the winery and leveraging that, it's, you know, we've got the beer and then we've got something for the not beer crowd.
And this definitely has the classier price tag on it.
Something for the not beer
crowd. Yes, exactly. Got more of a wine price to it, but it's
good.
Valid. Yeah. It tastes good. It's way more complex than a lot of the beers you're going to drink.
Yep.
But it might be too sour for some people. Yeah. It's still not as sour as like Cascade Barrel House in Portland, Oregon or something. But it actually, it's definitely taken the next step up.
I find it's a quick sour, if that makes sense. Yep. Like
it dies fast.
It dies really fast. And sometimes you have a sour and you're like, okay, and then you have it until you take your next sip. But this, it's instant. It's like, ooh, and then it's gone.
But then you salivate until your next sip.
That's what the sound is on here, is me, like.
The pucker, the lip smacking.
Yeah, no, Fieldhouse never disappoints. It's just their beers are always solid. I'm sad that it's out in Abbotsford, because I can't go out there and really enjoy the patio that much, because I got to drive home.
We can't even get there in a day.
Yeah.
Guys, can I pitch a tent?
Can I stay?
Please. There's a lot of, tents pitched in that area, but it's, unfortunately, homeless people, because it's a real big issue all around right now. So they might be clearing you out, but it might not be Fieldhouse. It might be someone else clearing you out.
But the field was empty.
Exactly.
That's good beer. Yeah. It'd be really nice on a really hot day.
Or thunderstorm watching.
Thunderstorm watching. Yeah. Not going to like beer is going to go with any weather.
Exactly. This beer would be outstanding on a snowy day where you're trapped indoors.
Yeah. I always laugh at people that, you know, it's too warm for a stout. What's wrong with you?
It means your stout's going to be in good temperature when you drink it.
Exactly.
They serve it too cold.
Yeah, some places you have to order a stout and another beer so you can drink your stout later.
And I always find that because I'll order a stout and then they'll come by and they're like, is there something wrong with the beer? And I'm like, it's too cold.
Unfortunately, it's hard to have different temperature settings on the taps. It's all one cold room.
Yeah.
But I wish they could do multiple like stage temperatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt.
Well, and that's a lot of the more experienced breweries, or I guess the servers in the breweries you go to, that's sort of, you know, you get the tasting notes, and it's always, you know, leave the big bold flavors till last and leave the stouts till last because they need to warm up.
Yeah.
Drink your milder flavors off the start so you sort of get that, and then, you know, break it up, drink some water.
And then your IPAs later too, just because the bitterness, if it's a West Coast IPA, will kill your palate.
Yeah, you won't taste anything.
Yeah, but then it gets confusing because then you want your juicy IPAs probably first.
Mm-hmm. Well, we always ask them, what do you recommend to drink from what to what? And for us, we really like when they give us a recommendation as opposed to saying, I don't know, just 1 to 10. And you're like,
I prefer when, now, not everybody can do this. It's not always feasible, but I like them to put it in the order they think you should drink it in. You may not follow it.
Yeah.
But I prefer that. Like, tell me what you think I should drink this in.
Yeah, because you know certain flavors are going to ruin other flavors. Yeah. And they're going to overpower or underpower each other. And it's something that is so simple. Well, I guess as someone who goes to them, things would be simple. But if you just have somebody, like, say, this is the order they should.
Yeah, and it's a little more training. Yeah, but.
Well, at the end of the day, right? It's their beer. Show it off.
Yeah, and I mean, most people that want to work in beer usually have a passion for beer anyways.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have the passion, you probably will know a lot about it anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like I said, from the brewery's perspective, just show it off.
Yeah.
Show me your beer. Show me how it's supposed to go. Show me how it's supposed to taste. You know, don't ruin it with earlier flavors or later flavors. Yeah. Don't let me drink it. Well, it's my choice how I drink it, but recommend to me how to not drink it out of order.
Yeah, like there's nothing more tiresome than walking into a brewery and the staff having no idea anything about the beer.
I don't know if you could hear that eye roll. It is probably one of my... I don't know a lot. I know what I like and don't like. And I know enough that I can, you know, be in there. But the idea of walking in and being like chatting and they're like, I don't know beer. And
I'm drink beer.
I don't drink it. And I'm just like, oh, oh.
Yeah, they shouldn't have hired you. Yeah.
People like to talk beer. They like to talk about the flavors, places they've been, you know, things that they want to try. You know, they have that conversation. It's a community. Yeah. People like to talk when they go in. So not to be able to talk to your server or the person behind the counter is a... And I find annoyance.
Yes, it definitely is.
Especially with craft beer, right? Like you're not buying a 40-pack of lager. You're not buying something to take home and just drink until you can't drink anymore. You're after something unique. You're after something that's going to be, you know, something memorable. You know, obviously, memorable in beer is sort of a misnomer, perhaps.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you know, you can remember if you did something you really, really enjoyed and then, you know, you finished it, you went on with friends, you had a beer, you always remember the first one, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's sort of the idea of it is you're not really selling just a beer. You're selling sort of an experience with it, especially going into the tap room.
Yeah.
Well, we've been to, what, close to 150?
I think that's a little high, but definitely 120 plus.
120 plus. And I probably could remember something from each place we've been to.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Just because we do make it a point of it being more than just showing up. And sometimes it is just showing up in the service, being positive or negative might be the story. But most of the time we've had a chance to talk to the head people or do a tour or, you know, just something.
Yeah.
The people that are also there with us, sitting with them because there's too many people. So you share a table and you get to know the people around you. So.
Yeah, that's the best part is sitting down at a table with random people or at the bar with random people and just getting to know a stranger.
Even for us, like I said, we travel quite a bit. And so, you know, we roll in shortly after the doors open. And it's great because typically you're talking to the general manager, you're talking to the brewmaster, you're talking to somebody who's sort of there to get the day started.
Yeah.
And you're there early enough and you get that opportunity for sort of the one-on-one before it gets packed. Like, I mean, we've all been in the brewery on Saturday at 4 and okay.
Yeah, that's just when you're going there to get some beers because you've had a long day.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, to have sort of that opportunity to, you know, talk beer with somebody, that's really what it's about. It's sure, I like drinking and I don't mind what happens after I drink enough and, you know, on from there. But at the same point, you can do that with anything. There's liquor stores filled with anything you can imagine to drink. That's not the point. The point is something that I want, something I'm going to enjoy and the experience that comes with it.
Yeah, for sure.
We also have wedding photos. From Fernie.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, the example like is Fernie has their trail to ale, and the idea is there's three relatively difficult mountain bike courses. You got to ride them in 24 hours. You got to prove you rode them. You got to take photos at the sign markers and everything like that. And then you got to head back into the brewery when you're done. But when you're done, they give you sort of a free pint, you know, a medal to prove that you did it. You get your picture taken with them and that's the idea, right? And I did it with some friends last year and we totally ignored the rules and did whatever we wanted and showed up and they wouldn't give us the medal because we couldn't prove we'd done it. But at the same time, you know, here we are. We're here for the beers. We're exhausted. We're covered in everything you can imagine we found in the bush. And, you know, it wasn't about the medal. It was, why not do it? Why not show we can go do it? It's kind of neat. And
well, you didn't prove you could do it because you don't have the medal.
Exactly.
That's what I said.
We can ignore directions because we're all men.
That's saying.
Yeah. And it's true.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We sort of chatted with it. We're like, we didn't really take photos and we didn't really do most of what you said, but...
We're here.
We're here. Which beer do you want to pay for?
Yeah. Oh, man. Can I just take a picture of the award?
Yeah. Instagram?
Can you show it to me so I can show it to other people?
Anyone here won one today?
Yeah. Yeah, but even like the idea, right? Like that's they've got a fantastic idea, right down to one of the trails is named after one of the beers.
Oh no way, that's awesome.
So, yeah. No, or I guess one of the beers is named after one of the trails.
Other way, it's got to be that way. It's got to be the other way.
Yeah, I know the origin.
Yeah, no, come on now.
Well, it's even like Banded Peak in Calgary. They want everything is made like named after trails that them and the buddies did all the time before they started the brewery, and even after places like to go. So everything's named after everything local, like trails and stuff. So
yeah,
I'm a big Judge a Book by Its Cover bottle.
Well, so am I.
Well, I've been a designer for 15 years, so I'm like, ooh, I like how this is.
They put the point of, you know, sitting in a...
Well, that's yours, isn't it? This is ours.
Yeah.
Even to the point of, you know, sitting in a beer store or wherever you go to buy beer, you know, you can't taste it, so how are you going to be sold?
Yeah, exactly.
Sold by something that appeals to you.
It's got to be pretty.
Purdy.
Purdy.
You got a purdy can. That could be so many things.
That's
day in two. Oh, jeez. So what have we got here?
So this is Rail Yard Brewing Peach Sour. And it is a pretty can. It's got UFOs attacking a train. It's
nice.
Something else. Action on the tracks. An inbound train with freight cars full of hops and grain. The crew comes alive. Their shadows, too. Blurred figures taking advantage of the layup. Laying down spray paint end to end. This is the place, the junction, the art, and the harvest. This is Rail Yard Brewing. This peach sour is made with fresh peaches, lactose, mosaic, and amarillo hops. This delicious fruit beer is tart with a sweet finish. IBU of 15, SRM of 4.
And someone likes flowery language.
Yeah. Yeah, they paid an English major for that.
Yes, they did. Got to use that degree somehow.
They had to fill the can. Thank you.
Could be that, too. Did you say it was 5.2% alcohol? I'm not sure if I heard that.
I may have missed that. I probably missed that.
I'm glad that you brought some lighter alcohol ones, because I didn't.
That's fortunate, because they were all just released. If I'd have been left to my own devices, it could have been ugly.
There was a lot of good barrel-aged stuff that we were...
Look at that, it's hazy again. Kind of more of a yellowy color. It's got a small white head. Little tiny bit of lacing on the glass, actually, which has not been happening for the rest of the beers, really.
No, it's... Yeah.
That's nice. Bit peachy. It's got an interesting nose. It's almost like overripe peach or something.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely pick up on the peach right away. It's the first thing you smell.
And it's almost all you smell, really, for me at least. Maybe a hint of grain or something in there, but it's mostly just peach. Peach and lemon.
Yeah, definitely tart. Like you said, the lemon, the citrus flavor.
Yeah,
the peach is strong. Like.
The peach is very strong. But yeah, when it comes to the actual tartness, it's kind of a lemony, citrusy thing going on. It's got a grainy kind of back note to it. The fruit hits you up front first.
Yeah.
Sort of the back of the tongue, it starts to...
Yeah, you pick up on the beer flavor.
Yeah, right? The beer flavor, the graininess, and then kind of the tartness kicks back in again at the end. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's sort of a good friend of mine, the guy I ride bikes with all the time, is, I think I was telling you earlier, if it's got peach in it, that's what he wants, and it doesn't matter what it says other than that.
And if he doesn't like it, you drink it and give him the keys.
Come visit me, I've got all the beer.
I haven't had very much from these guys yet. I've had a little bit.
They did, right off the bat, they got into nitro. They did a nitro lager and a nitro stout, sort of right off the bat. And that really sort of, you know, I hesitate to say it carried them for the first little while, simply because obviously they don't tell me how they're doing. But
yeah,
it really seemed like that sort of got everyone's attention for them, was that they had, you know, multiple nitro, or the setup for multiple nitro, and they're canning nitro, which...
Not easy to do.
Well, and not everyone does. That's, you know, usually nitro is one of those things that they sort of roll it out on a beer that everybody likes, and we'll see how this goes, and if it goes really well, then maybe we'll continue doing it.
Well, I know, like, Parallel 49 spent more money than some breweries spend on many, many, many batches of beer trying to perfect their nitro beers, which they don't even really do anymore.
Probably because of how much money they spent trying to get it right.
No, I just don't think it sold as well as it like. So it was.
But it's tricky, right? Especially with nitro, with the sort of the standard carbonation with the CO2 versus the nitro, and how quickly the nitro. It's usually if you go in and you ask them to fill a growler or a howler or anything with nitro, the answer's no.
Yeah, and no, because it just it's instantly gone. Yeah. Yeah.
By the time you get it home, it's lost its appeal.
By the time it's been poured, if you don't just drink it then, yeah.
And they can't even fill a whole growler. Normally, it fills too much.
Well, I guess that's the other thing.
Yeah,
right?
Just the rolling.
It's just the rolling. Is, yeah, it's like half, and I'm like, "That's good. You gave it to me. It's gonna be."
Although it looks really pretty when they're filling a pitcher.
Oh, it's great.
That's the only use for clear pitchers.
Yeah, exactly. I think this one might get a little too sweet if you drink a lot of it.
I'd agree.
Like, it's really nice, but it is getting a little sweeter.
Yeah, you can. You're really picking up on the peach sort of. You know, it was sort of the on the nose and then on the tip of your mouth or on the tip of your tongue. And now a couple of sips in, it's sort of overwhelming everything else.
Yeah.
The peach is definitely there. The sour is definitely there. But, the peach is the point of the beer.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably do 12 ounces.
Yeah.
But I think this tall can shared between three people is perfect.
Yeah. I think beer always shared is perfect.
That is true. Yes. It's always better. But some, you want to share less.
Share less, yeah.
This is mine.
Yes.
And I bought
Here's
you
a sip.
Yeah.
You can try it, and I bought you a bud. No, come on. There's skill in bud.
It tastes the same everywhere.
Yes. Crappy.
Crappy.
But the same.
Still the same.
That's what we always... In chatting with friends, it's always, you don't crap on those guys. The head brewers at Budweiser and all those places, like, the skill to make your beer taste the exact same every single time is incredible. But who wants the same beer every single time?
And I mean, really, when it comes down to it, it's all chemical processes. It's all pushing buttons and turning knobs. I mean, don't get me wrong. They train really good technical brewers.
Yeah.
But it's not hands-on at all. They're doing so little actual physical work.
And a trillion liters.
Yeah. But when they drop off for Molson or Bud or whatever and they open their own brewery, they can make really good beer if they have some creativity as well. Because you learn the processes at least, and you can learn how to take different grains, different hops, different corn or rice, and still make it taste the same as something else.
I recall, even a handful of years ago, that was the knock, right? It's corn beer, it's rice beer. And even, like I said, we were out at Phillips last summer and their rice IPA, that was the theme of the summer. So it's got a lot to do with market pricing, right? Like, corn is cheap and probably will forever be, but because rice has gone up in price, you don't put that in beer anymore.
Well, Bud still does. But it's probably the worst grade rice you've ever seen.
Yep, grown in my backyard. Because nothing grows back there because I have dogs.
Yikes. And what does grow, you do not want to consume.
Yeah, don't eat it.
Our sunflowers did well.
Until it snowed.
They're about 11 feet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we bought mammoth sunflowers and they got up above the roof line right up until 6 inches of snow hit on September 14th, and then they cracked and broke.
I would too.
Yep.
Well, it's actually Big Rock does a summer concert series called the Barn Burner.
Nice.
And that's their, I say down the street, but it's the same street, but in another area of town entirely, and 20-minute drive away. But,
yeah.
So same it's street, down though. The street, but
oh yeah.
And it's last year it was Sam Roberts, and so we'd done two or three of them now, and last year, September 15th, it was so cold, and they'd set it up so that the wind was blowing over top of the crowd onto the stage. I've never had a concert where they played all of their hits as fast as they could, and then just got off the stage.
Yeah. They had one encore and left. They were fantastic, but you could tell they were cold.
Oh, yeah. Trying to play instruments with fingers you can't feel and stuff?
Well, yeah, 6 inches of snow the day before.
Yeah.
In September.
Welcome to Calgary.
Yeah. I used to actually be the same with the next brewer we're going to drink here, Strange Fellows. I was on the same street. it was an hour walk.
Yeah.
Same street, though. Yeah. Actually, I guess it turned from Knight to Clark, but it was the same street. It just
takes just a bend. Followed it.
Yeah. So this is the Little Red One. It's a lambic style ale with black currants. 6.5% alcohol.
He gave us a light one this time.
Yeah. So it says, barrel aged for over a year with black currants from the Fraser Valley. This West Coast lambic style sour ale has notes of oak, black tea, and tobacco with a dry herbal character that brings to mind walking on herbal ground cover on a hot sunny day. Perfect for long term cellaring. This complex beer will soften and mellow with laying down for an extended period. Let's enjoy it at cellar temperature.
Sounds like a hammock beer.
Yeah. Just need to get to the hammock after you finish reading.
the tobacco, that's... I've never seen that put on a label before.
Usually only on Imperial Stouts. I could be wrong, but I think this is actually one of the beers that originally was in their fellowship club. So you have to join it. I think it's like $150 or so, and you get two bottles of four releases.
Okay.
And I think this is one of the ones that was in the original release, and then now they brought it out as a regular release a couple years later.
I like the color already.
Yep. We're still hazy, but...
And this one's a 750 milliliter bottle, so it's a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Even though Sean's still pouring, it's a nice color.
It's a deep red.
Deep, deep. Thank you. Wow.
Pink head to it.
There's like no light going through.
And you like right away you smell the currants.
We're ahead of you. We're sorry.
No.
I like currants. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird. Obviously, there's enough of us that like currants that they keep putting it in beer. So we're okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I like currants, and most people usually say they're too tart or too sour. Yeah.
There's no light to it.
Yeah, well, you hold it up to the light and it just gets a darker red.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a smaller pour and there's a little bit of light going through it. But if I went any higher.
Yeah. That is a lot of smell.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet smell. It's got kind of a cherry nose. I'm getting a little more cherry than blackcurrant personally, but.
Ooh.
Nice
that
and
after,
tart.
Yeah, really after tart.
Ooh. Yeah. But yeah, lots of like blackcurrants and cherry. It's sweet. But that tartness kind of backs it up so it doesn't get too sweet.
I find the tart hits after, like...
It does linger a bit. Yeah.
Well, I was even going to say, like, with the tartness, just sitting here, you know, take the first sip, give it a little bit of time to process. That's almost where I can sort of start tasting the tobacco.
Yeah.
It's definitely sort of the aftertaste. And it's a really... Like you said, it's really complex. It's good. It's tart. It's sweet. It's got the nose to it. It hits your tongue hard. It sort of sticks around a little bit. It's not overwhelming, but it is definitely, it's on top of you and it stays.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to stick with you a little bit, make you contemplate what you're drinking.
Contemplate life. And
they were finding that like, all of the beer is good. But all the ones they put into the competitions, they put in the fellowship beers, and they kept them bloody winning. And then no one could try them because they weren't in the clubs. Now they're trying to bring some of them out to the public years later so that at least they can try them.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. It's, you know, like I said, you're always looking for sort of a different flavor, and this definitely is a different flavor.
Yeah. Now, there's a reason why they're winning awards for their sour beers. Ian's been making sour since back when he was at Yale Town Brew Pub, and the owner didn't really like that beer, didn't really want it there. So when Ian finally left, that beer has never been brewed again. It's Oud Brewin, and he's been making that now at Strange Fellows, and it just kind of blossomed from there. It's just all kinds of crazy sours, kettle sours, and then these big barrel sours too. Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So tart. It's so good.
Like just thinking about it, it's like, you know, imagine if you paired this with a cheesecake. Like just the cheesecake flavor combined with this would be like,
and it would cut that tartness.
Yeah.
Where's the cheesecake? Damn it.
20 minutes away.
Yeah, does it skip the dishes? Do they do that here?
Probably not. No. It's a pretty small town.
Small city.
Sorry, a small city. I think it's got to be right on that cusp of what you can actually call a city.
But that's, when we can drive it in, that's exactly what I said. I was just like, you know what? I thought this place was smaller than it was, I guess, because
it's a city.
I would have never thought this was a city.
I wonder what the true cutoff is in Canada.
Yeah.
Whatever you're willing to pay the government to say you are.
Because, I mean, it was one of the first cities, so in BC, so maybe it's grandfathered in.
We're still a city because we say so.
Yeah, because it was New Westminster, and these guys, I think, were like the first two in BC. So.
And they do the census over the summer when it's like top population.
Most likely.
Yeah. University towns, right? Yeah. Every year, the census goes on in February because that's before the students can all drop out.
Well, I wonder how many schools they actually have here. I hear the art school closed, so.
We saw the signs for the university.
Okay, so there's probably something here.
Yeah, the UBC
still.
Of education and training or something.
Yeah, I think the art school closed.
Yeah.
Which is no good.
Well, it's a loss, right? Like,
well, especially because Nelson is such an artsy kind of hippie city. Yeah. So you'd kind of want an art school. It's going to drive people here.
I'm wondering if they couldn't afford to live here, rent.
It sounded like it was a government policy to try to reduce the amount of schools and kind of local or regionalize
them. That sounds
right.
Art.
Well, it wasn't just art. It was all universities and stuff. I forget what time, how long ago this was, but it sounded like it was one of the governments going, there's too many schools. It's costing too much. Let's reduce this and move everyone to a different region.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of the U.S. immigration philosophy, right? If you don't have money and you don't offer something we don't already have, we don't want you.
And even if you do, give us the money and then leave. That's just current, though.
Yeah. except that he doesn't know what's going on. No. At the best of times. Hey, you know what? I think he's going to be great for American politics, because if nothing else, everyone's going to be involved now.
Yeah, no doubt. I hope so, at least.
Yeah, you got to pay attention, you got to vote, you got to be involved, because look what happens if you don't.
Yes, it's a good case study for, oh fuck.
Let that be a lesson for us too, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Look what happens if you just say, oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Well, it actually does.
My vote doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't.
After sitting a couple of minutes, letting it go, sort of letting it sort of evaporate from my mouth.
Yeah.
And then going back in for that first sip, it's like I could taste it right away. You taste it and it's like the little bit of your eyes watering.
Yeah.
The mouth watering. Like, it's a, like you said, a very complex flavor, very unique, really, really stands out. Yeah. Even as far as sours go. And I find sours typically stand out more so than anything else just because of the tartness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have the double IPAs and the Imperials and that just punch you in the mouth with hops.
Yeah.
And I personally love that.
Me too.
I love the bitterness. But I like the sours just because of the sort of the variety of flavors, right? Like you can go right from, you know, the cucumber where a little bit tart, but finishes with the cucumber really sort of mild and mellow, right up to like this where, like I said, you know, first sip after 5 minutes of not drinking and my eyes are watering.
Yeah.
that's a new one on me.
Yeah. And this is still not anywhere near as sour as some beers I've had.
Yeah. Oh, they'll release an Imperial Sour soon enough and that'll be...
Oh, yeah.
Face will turn inside out.
Basically every beer I've ever had from Cascade Barrel House. I've heard that they've actually toned it down recently, but I still don't want to buy their bottles because they're too expensive. Damn American dollar.
Well, on top of that, it's...
If you'd like to be featured on the show, then send the beer and...
Yeah.
No, send the invite. Send the plane ticket.
Yeah.
Or I'll drive. Portland isn't that far, really. It's probably about as far as this. Nelson.
Yeah. Do it from the tap room.
Yeah.
We keep saying we're going to go down to the States and try some different beers one of these days.
Portland, of all places. That's where we'd like to get to.
Maybe 2 years.
Yes. That's what I keep saying.
With any luck.
Give or take an election.
Give or take, yeah.
If I'm right and Americans actually care to participate in their own politics rather than just complain.
Yeah. Fingers and toes are crossed.
It's fantastic, though. The late shows have never been better.
Yeah. Yes, that is so true.
All right. So I assume we're looking at the last one for the evening. Wild Rose Brewery IPA. It's Industrial Pale Ale. 6% alcohol, 69 IBU, 10 SRM. Wild Rose has gone sort of to a new branding design. They've got animals and other avatars, I guess.
It's good. Construction.
Is the current word. Yeah.
Construction beaver, is it? What is that?
Yeah, this guy's construction beaver. His name's Chuck.
Nice.
And Wild Rose has also sort of gotten into, you know, how to mix their beers. And so they're recommending the Barracks Brown and this IPA. Half and half makes a James Brown. And they've got, you know, obviously Wild Rose has a full selection of everything you can imagine, as well as some special stuff. And so you can, they've got all sorts of recommendations for what to mix and how to mix them, what percentages.
And they've been around for a long time too, haven't they?
One of the originals in Alberta.
Yeah, well, that's, Alberta in 2013 had, I think, 4 breweries, including the big ones. And it was...
One of the original?
Yeah, well, I think at 2013 it was Wild Rose, Big Rock, and...
Alley Cat?
Yeah, Alley Cat.
And... Yeah. Oh, never
remember. Labatt?
One of them.
Yeah, I think it's Labatt in Edmonton, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a... I can't remember what the fourth one is.
Well, Toolshed came shortly after.
Shortly after, yeah.
I think they were a late 2013, 2014. And they were actually... They're brewing in BC and then bringing it across the border.
Yeah, they were brewing a Dead Frog at the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also great beer.
They actually moved. I don't know if you've noticed. They moved to Langley now.
We were there last August. Where did we... That's where we went, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that label.
Yeah, they've done a really good job with the upgrading of all their cans.
Although, you know, it looks like that beaver there is wearing the melon head from Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So I don't know about that for an Alberta brewery. But.
Well, let's be careful here. It is Calgary.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Does it not look kind of like a watermelon, though?
Shout out to everyone.
Exactly. Just keeping on the level, right?
Just buy the beer and we love you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where you're from.
Still kind of hazy.
Yep. No clear beers tonight.
Perfect. Screw filters.
It's just extra cost, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Pass the cost savings on to us.
That never happens.
Pass the profits up the chain.
Yeah, exactly. Got a nice, like, floral, hoppy nose. It doesn't smell like it's going to be bitter, but lots of hops in there, a bit of fruit. It's not your typical, like, citrusy or tropical fruit really on the nose, but there's something fruity in there.
Yeah, this is one of the go-tos, in part because the place I can walk to from my house sells it.
Ah, nice.
And in part because I do like the big IPAs, so.
Yeah. 6%, 69 IBU, yeah.
We upped our game a little.
Yeah, it's got a bit of like citrus pith in there. It's a little bit like melony even, really.
That's Rough Riders fans, right?
It's not watermelon, at least, right? Then you'd have some seriously mad Albertans, I think.
Calgarians, especially.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's got like some little bit of resin. It's not super bitter. Like, there is bitterness, but it's more of like a resiny and pithy thing going on. It's nice, though. It's interesting because It's not quite a juicy IPA. It's not really a West Coast IPA. It's kind of somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, as I said, this is one I really do like this from them. It's been a good offering. It's, even to your point, you know, it's got that sort of the juicy flavor, but it's not a juicy.
Yeah.
It's got sort of that West Coast, really bold flavor, but not quite.
Yeah.
It's sort of a hybrid almost, a mix in between, and it sort of fills that sort of gap. If you want something that's not, you know, high alcohol, really, really flavorful, and sort of puts the hops away so that they can get you in with whatever else they're going to put in there. But it's not, you know, the standard double or triple IPA type of thing where it's pure alcohol and they're going to punch you in the face with hops.
It'll only mildly wreck your palate, right? Only very mildly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like that, the great beer from the arms race, palate wrecker, which I don't even know is made anymore. Green Flash has screwed themselves so bad. Yeah, I like this a lot. Good old Chuck.
Chuck, the Saskatchewan fan. From Calgary.
I mean, it's all green, too. Like, the can is green. The hops are green. Like, there is a bit of an issue with the color scheme there.
Yep.
Although, I would laugh even more if they have, like, a green can. And then they have one that's, like, mostly red. And then mostly orange.
Just get that ass out there right now.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You can't hate on Saskatchewan too much. I mean, the fans care.
Yeah, that's the best thing.
Yeah.
It's, you know what? I'll take the as far as the sports fans go, if there's passion, then the team will exist forever.
It's, yeah.
You know, nothing quite like the Argos getting blown out and their fans cheering because the other team looks really good.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, boy.
Go Toronto, huh?
Yeah, if I can go to a visiting city and buy tickets, you know, that speaks to the fans.
Yeah. Doesn't well,
to a point. Yeah, you're definitely right about that.
Yeah. Our fans still want a winner. It's just stands are a little empty these days.
Well, look at our northern neighbors, right? It's you can only put out a crappy hockey team for so many years before they'll stop paying.
Yeah.
Or they've just sold themselves on the fact that every year is a good year and they'll keep paying.
Yeah, exactly.
But they've got McDavid.
Hasn't helped them one thing, but one bit.
No, they made one playoff run.
That's right.
You know, goalie played over his head, defense played over their head, and McDavid was McDavid. So that was a good year. Since then, you know, everyone's done what they were supposed to do, and yeah.
We'll see what happens. It almost seems like the Canucks have got the next McDavid right now, so won the Rookie of the Year.
All you need is a team full of good players.
Yeah.
One doesn't get the job
done.
No,
it doesn't. And a goaltender helps, you know.
Yeah. Well, Kenzie and I were talking. It might be time for the big fat goalie, right? 4x6?
Locks the net.
Doesn't need to be an athlete. You just gotta lie down.
If basketball players can be like 8'7", then hockey players can be.
Well, I mean, the average hockey player is like 6'7", anyways. So.
I'm talking like there. Rectangle, like full on. Yeah.
Well, if they're 6 feet tall and 4 feet wide, then they just lay on their side.
Just lay on their side. Put some skates on. They're good.
Push Waddle them out. Them out.
Push them out.
It's like the old time fighters.
Yeah.
Done. All right. Well, do you have a favorite from each region?
Oh, that's.
I really, really liked the little red one.
Yeah.
I think that was absolutely fantastic. The other ones were great, but that just. Just that enough tart where I just kept getting tartier every time I drank it. And I really enjoyed that. It didn't ever go flat on me. It was always the same flavor. Warmer as it got along, still same flavor.
Yeah. How about you?
You know, I actually really liked, I liked the Fieldhouse, the natural amber, the Foder beer aged in white oak.
Yeah.
It really is sort of a unique flavor. It's I've never tasted anything quite like it, which, you know, like I said, I'm a relentless sampler, so it definitely stands out to me. If something is new totally, it definitely stands out. I like that. And then even just sort of the beer not beer flavor. I like that. From Alberta, you know, I gotta go with the Cabin Brewing, the Cuke. It's the sour Cuke is, you know, to your point, like we were discussing, it's not a pickle. It's not, you're not dealing with that. You've got the cucumber flavor. You've got the sour flavor. They sort of stand apart, but they're
no vinegar flavor.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I think we're going to be a bit of a broken record on the Alberta beers then, because I'm going to go the same thing with the cucumber one. That one's nice. It's got everything you want in a kettle sour And instead of being fruity, it's kind of more of the vegetable thing going on, but it's really refreshing. And then I'm going to agree with you because it's the little red one for me. I just love that beer.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. I'm glad that it's now a little more available because it used to be so hard to get.
I also like the cucumber, I think. Sorry, you're outnumbered, Sean.
Yeah, that's all right.
You've been voted off.
Yep. Voted off the island.
Voted off the island.
Voted out of the mountain town.
Yep. Take your bike and leave.
Yes.
Leave the keys.
Yeah. Yeah. She'll pick me up on that.
Got to get a special specifier, right?
Yeah.
Could be a little rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pick you up in Salmo.
Yeah.
You got to get there, though.
Got to get there. You got your bike.
Oh, geez.
I'll leave now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Some interesting stuff, though, right?
Like, yeah, no, it was great.
That's even, you know, the blockchain, like I said, the technology behind it might stand out more than the beer does, but it's a solid flavor. It's got that, and then... You know, even to your point, the BC, the sort of the special edition stuff, you know, really unique flavors. That's,
yeah,
like I was saying earlier, that's, you know, you're not out for a Budweiser. You're going somewhere. You're going somewhere to try something. You're bringing people, you're meeting people, whatever the situation is. Just,
yeah,
you know, it's the community sense, right? It's getting out there, seeing it, trying it, being a part of it, and then telling others about it.
And I mean, out of the beers that I brought here, the only one that's actually more of a standard lineup beer is the Bruin from Daggered. Everything else is kind of one-offs or like, you know, once a year seasonals or something. I think that one from Fieldhouse, the Fooderage, is probably going to be a one-off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
probably never do it again, but.
Well, they'll do something similar, but it won't turn out the same.
No, exactly. And that's it, right? Is as we said, craft beer, you know, you're not doing what everyone else has done. You're not remaking Budweiser, and if you are, you shouldn't be.
Yeah. Yeah, you can make a much better beer, even if it's going to be a fairly light lager. It still has to have flavor.
No. Yeah, it shouldn't. And if it doesn't taste the same all the time, that's not the end of the world.
No, it's not. As long as it doesn't taste bad.
Yeah, well, that's... Wild Rose every year does a special edition winter brew, and they wrote, or I guess, no, it's Big Rock.
Big Rock.
I'm totally off base there.
Their winter spice.
It's Big Rock, and yeah, they do their winter spice, and they rotate it between the breweries, because they've got one in Ontario, one in Calgary, and then one in Vancouver,
yeah.
And so they rotate the brewmaster at each.
Okay.
So each year it tastes different.
And so, yeah, each year is a different recipe, and that was, they sort of said, is like, we don't want the same beer.
Yeah.
Why?
So it's the idea that that spice, but they're each year it's been different, and they do it on purpose, and it's really interesting.
Don't they also do a really good like chocolate beer too for the winter, Big Rock?
I believe so.
It's
been a while since we've done Big Rock.
Yeah, well, I mean, we go there for the concerts, but
yeah, if you're going to go to a place, we go for something that's a little bit smaller. Yeah, nothing. For sure. We like their beer. It's just we prefer to try something different.
Well, unfortunately for Big Rock, their tap room hours are really dumb.
They close at like 5.
No, it's
and they're not open on weekends.
It's 11 to 5 Monday to Friday.
But they serve food, and that's why. And so they serve food, so they're closed usually at 5 and not open on weekends.
But food is dinner time then. They're
buried in the middle of one of our industrial parks. That's the only place that they can get the warehouse spacing large enough.
Still, that's bizarre. So, like, you want to be open on weekends. Don't be open Monday, Tuesday, then.
Well, we've always wanted to do Alley Cat up in Edmonton, but they're also not open on weekends.
Are they not? No. I'm always in Edmonton on the weekdays for work, so I've never been on the weekends.
So I've gone up for the weekends, and I've contacted them, and they said they might be changed. It's been a little bit of a while since I've looked into it, but they were never open on weekends. They've always, like, work day, just where their location is, they get more traffic during the busier times.
Although I think I had heard that they were looking to turn their growler bar into more of a tasting room, so
that'd be good.
Things could be changing. Come on, Google, open.
That's one of the things we want to
work faster. Google.
We've done a lot of Calgary and area, but we eventually want to go up to Edmonton. It's just trying to hit all them.
There you go. They're open every day but Sunday now.
It's perfect.
Yeah,
which is fine.
It's a reason to go.
Actually, with Edmonton, I think Situation Brewing is a real good reason to go up there. That brew pub is awesome.
So we try to hit all the breweries together. There's one you've done, two you've done without me, three you've done without me.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, you want to come to
Keeps Fort growing.
Mac. One's Fort Mac. I'm okay with that.
Didn't they close?
Wood Buffalo?
Pretty sure they closed.
No, they rebranded. It's now Babe Brewing, which was their...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did their vanilla blueberry ale, I guess. I don't think it's got any other name. So yeah, their blueberry vanilla ale was Babe Brewing. Oh, wow.
I think it just happened.
Well, now you're lucky because then, you know.
Yeah.
We have a growler from there. We're good. Shauna got up right after the fires.
Website's dead, too.
Aww. He's also done a few in New Brunswick that I haven't had a chance to go to yet.
Jerk.
I know. His work takes him to weird spots.
Yeah, okay. It's like me.
Crisis. Yeah.
So does that mean our Wild Buffalo growler is worth something? Is that
Probably not.
Probably not.
Doubtful.
Anybody looking to buy a Wood Buffalo growler?
$5. What do they go for nowadays? $7?
I think so.
Who knows? All right. Well, I guess probably just close this one out now.
Yeah.
Well, oh, found something?
Just, what? I know they rebranded, but it's all 3 months old. So if it just happened 3 months ago, isn't going to be helpful.
No, not really. Let's, all right. Well, thanks for joining me today. And,
it was a good time. Thanks for joining us.
If you're ever in Vancouver, let me know. Maybe we can do this again.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, before we close it out here, we will give a shout out to our Patreon supporters. You can go to patreon.com/Pacific Beer Chat to support us. So that's Liz from Hop Bower, it's Indie Beer Show, and Steve. Cheers.
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 Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.